and welcome to the first Words, Women and Wisdom show for 2019. I'm your host, Yvonne E.L. Silver. It's lovely to be joining you, and I'm looking outside. I'm sitting here in Calgary, Alberta, looking outside at the pond across from my house, and I still see that, yes, there is skating that can happen on the pond. We've actually got a couple of very kind neighbors who have cleared off the snow and arranged to put a net on one end and a seat to put your skates on to sit down and get your skates comfy. And it's been just a delightful winter wonderland here in Calgary over the holidays. We've had some snow, we've had some cold weather, we've had some lovely time with family and friends. Me in particular have had, my husband and I had one of our favorite gifts, his favorite gift for sure, which was actually having all of his three kids around the dinner table. And that was lovely, and also having my son Alex here as well. It is a beautiful sunny day, and I'm excited to get this show started. So if you're just tuning in and have never been part of the Words, Women and Wisdom show before, it is a live show, as it shows on the BBS radio station show page. You can, in fact, dial in live with your comments and also comments, questions, etc. The intention of the show is to provide an opportunity for women to be inspired to step into higher levels of confidence and to know that it is possible. And I think sometimes when life throws us a curveball, sometimes it's really hard to ever envision that we can get out of whatever mess it is that we're in. But just by knowing that there are, in fact, so many stories of women who have inspired others, from trauma to triumph, tragedy to triumph, chaos to confidence, it's that journey of exploration which is what builds our character. And if you think about it, you know, we don't really learn as much through the easy times as we do when we're going through something major. That's when we have our deepest learning. That's when we really get in touch with ourselves and can get fully grounded and know that the next time something comes up, we can actually work through it. We are capable, and that many other women have gone before. I've had some delightful guests, and I have been lucky enough over the past 6 months to interview some amazing people. Monica Kretschmer, the founder of Women of Inspiration, and I was actually an award recipient last September for Women of Inspiration, receiving an award for mentorship for the work that I've been doing in the community over the past number of years, helping women to elevate by connecting with other women who are more seasoned, perhaps a little bit more experienced in specific areas. Sometimes it's a technical area that somebody wants to advance in their career. Sometimes it is more about things like work-life balance, or how do I manage my career when I'm working in a male-dominated environment. Sometimes it's one entrepreneur to another, and it's about helping them to see where there are some business opportunities that perhaps they've been so buried in the details that they have forgotten to elevate and look, you know, kind of like above the trees, instead of being in the forest, to look above the trees at the skyline, stay high level, and see where there are some magical opportunities that could occur. Sometimes I've heard of some amazing partnerships coming out of these protege and mentor relationships as well. And I've certainly heard and been involved with many clients and protégés, many of mine as well, who have actually stepped up significantly after being in a mentorship relationship. They feel confident enough to ask for what they want, confident enough to go for their dream, and know that they have support, that they have somebody in their corner who is there helping them to have new connections, to have new ideas, to have new energy. So this show is intended to inspire you to more, well, higher levels of confidence to be looking at how can 2019 be something that is going to be a really great impetus for change and shift and growth for you personally. Now, I've got my guest for today, Cheryl Ginnings. We're just having a few technical challenges getting her on the line, but I'm sure she's going to be joining us shortly. So while I'm coordinating that piece, here's a couple of questions to throw out to you. When you reflect back over last year, what were some of the highlights for you? What was working really well for you? And how could 2019 be even better? Just take a moment to think about that. What would amazing be? How could it be even better? Yeah. So in order for it to be even better, what does that look like for you? Does that mean that you need some additional knowledge? You need some additional resources? You need additional support? Perhaps it is about mentorship, finding a mentor. Perhaps it is about hiring a coach. Perhaps it's about partnering and having more of a deep conversation with your spouse and knowing that your family is behind you in achieving your dreams and your vision. What is it that you need to tap into this year in order to have a flourishing year? And David Cooperrider was the originator of that concept, Appreciative Inquiry, where I just shared a couple of questions from that methodology. What's working really well? How could it be even better? I actually write about this in my book because it is a fabulous concept. If any of you listening are self-employed business owners or you're working in a sales position in the corporate world, it's a great way to actually engage others and bring to the table some new ideas without feeling like you're actually selling anybody. So just give you another example. You're meeting a new person, a new potential sales, new potential client for a sales type conversation. And you've got the appointment already, you're walking into the appointment. Now, very often, sales individuals are told, you know, you start with what's the greatest challenge, what's the biggest pain point, you know, where is there going to be an opening in the conversation to tell them about your services and what it is that they must actually have a need from you. I believe that there's actually a better approach that actually we can invite a conversation, co-create a much better solution by engaging in conversation in a positive way from the outset with your new potential client. So the conversation sounds like this. Tell me a little bit more about your business and your team and your objectives. What's working really well for you right now? And instead of having that awkward silence where the client really doesn't want to talk about their biggest challenge or what it is that's not working in their team right now, you actually have, their shoulders pick up, their head perks up, and they're proud to actually talk about what's working really well in their business. And then the next piece of that, once you've understood where they're at right now, you can start to have the context to be able to build perhaps a co-creative idea of what you could do to dovetail into what's working already for them. And then the next piece is what's working really well. After what's working really well is how could it be even better? So when you get to that question, then they start talking about what it is that they're planning for the year. You know, what are some of the new initiatives? What are some of the new staff that they're bringing on? What are some of the strategic goals that they're going for? And they're much more willing to share with you because you haven't created resistance where there was no resistance needed. You've just been inviting a conversation. It's almost like, you know, sitting across the room with a friend. Hey, you know, what worked really well for you last year? And how could it be even better? Once you understand where they're heading, then it gives you much more of an opportunity to say, you know, I might be able to help you advance that goal faster or more deeply. Or I might be able to introduce you to some of my in that project. Or, you know, maybe it is about dovetailing your services alongside what it is that they have for their goal so that you can support them. And that's where the co-creation of a solution really is an exciting conversation, because there's no objections come up here. There's nothing to object to, because you're talking about what's working really well. You're talking about the future state. How could it be even better? And it's something that, again, you're co-creating together. So the opportunity for that to be a long-term lasting relationship is so much stronger than if you had walked in and actually started pitching them and trying to sell them your idea. So something to think about, but it works amazingly well in a variety of different circumstances. It works with teenagers as well. Teenagers that have, your kids that have had some success with their grades, with their schoolwork, with their exams, and how could it be even better, lends a conversation of thinking and encouraging them to think through, you know, what else could they do to get those grades up a little bit further, a little bit higher? What's working really well? How could it be better? It's so much more of a nice, warm, inviting conversation than to say, you know, you're doing it wrong or you're not doing good enough. What do you need to do? And anytime that you actually use the word you, get prepared for someone to be defensive. So that, again, is something from my book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversation. And it looks at 40 different words, words and word concepts, like I just shared with appreciative inquiry, that can help women to have much more confidence when they're asking for what they want and receiving it, because they're asking in a different way. They're coming to the conversation with a positive intention, an intention of course, this is going to happen. So I encourage all of my clients, my proteges, audience listeners to consider, you know, how can I rephrase a question in a different way so it's not a closed question that requires a yes or no answer. It's something that is a how or what or who. It's a question. I love how questions. It's a question that opens the conversation to something much deeper, much broader, by doing exactly what I've just been talking about, asking what's working well, how could it be even better? So just breathe into that. And if you have been making notes already, perhaps there are some things bubbling up for you right now that you could actually, you know, particular circumstances that you're in right now, this month, that you can relate those techniques to. Is it about bringing in more business, more sales? Is it about having a deeper conversation with your spouse on something that you want to ask for? Is it about working more effectively with your kids, encouraging them? How could you use appreciative inquiry in a new way? We're just going to go to a short break for a minute, and I'm just going to see if I can, in fact, connect with my guest, Cheryl Ginn. Well, we're back. So, yeah, we do have some technical challenges today reaching my guest, Cheryl Ginn, which is sad because it's the first show of the year. So Cheryl is, I'm hoping that she'll be able to join me at a future date. Cheryl is a very interesting gal. She has evolved the courage to overcome process. So it's a process about families and people who have shown courage to overcome a disability and go beyond what the medical personnel or others thought they could do. So in her show, she's actually got a show on Bold Brave Media, the Courage to Overcome radio show. And she's also an international speaker and has a 3-time best-selling author, author of a book on this same topic, she addresses topics like autism, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, learning disorders, a lot of the medical challenges that are really difficult for families to deal with. And when you're, I think she mentioned in one of her blogs recently that she actually had taken her son recently. He'd had 3 surgeries in the past 10 weeks. And I haven't been able to connect with her in the last couple of days live. We've been chatting on Facebook. So I'm not sure if those surgeries are related to his cerebral palsy or what the connection is. I just know from my own experience, when I was having Alex under 5, he had 4 surgeries before he was 5. And spending nights on those slippery chairs at Children's Hospital here in Calgary, I mean, you really don't get any sleep. And after the second experience, I became a bit of a rebel. And I'm sure the nurses didn't like it, but I actually clambered into bed with him. But he was so tiny, he was not taking up very much room in the bed. And I was constantly slipping onto the floor. So this is not a good thing. So Cheryl addresses the problems, you know, families face, and offers some solutions to make their lives easier. I've got some ringing on the line here. Let's see if this is Cheryl ringing. No, maybe it's not. I was hopeful. So she is the leader in the Christian community in particular, and giving care circles, offering care circles around the globe. It's actually been cutting a path for others for over 5 decades. And so she is a loving mother who understands the struggles and emotions of caring for someone who solely depends on you, dedicating her life to helping others, empowering parents, children, and caregivers. She's a mother of 3, and one of which is a special mother. So she's a fabulous resource. I'm sad that we didn't get to talk today. She does have some information, though, that is available. So if you miss connecting and listening to Sharon directly, you can, in fact, go over to her website, courage2overcome.com. That's courage and then the number 2, overcome.com. And she's inviting you to join the Courage to Overcome Club. And it's something that she has evolved, which provides resources for parents, for those who are caregivers, and has a special free report on there that you can access. Top 10 issues families with special needs face, and possible solutions. And I think she's also got several support and resource groups open, which will give hope to anyone involved with any type of special needs, and that includes elderly parents, and maybe it's a veteran that's coming back home with PTSD. So I know firsthand the impact that PTSD can have on our personality, not for me personally, but for my dad. When he was in the war, he was in Dunkirk in the Second World War, he came back and he had a bullet break on a temple. And his personality, I mean, as a kid, I just thought he was kind of mean. I mean, it was really a shame. He wasn't very social and kept himself to himself. He was very gruff with us as kids. And it can be a challenge when there is severe PTSD and you're the primary caregiver, because that person has perhaps not been able to work, not find work, he's getting sort of depressed about it. It really can be quite challenging. So I do talk a little bit about my story in the book. And the reason that I wrote the book is because of how my dad treated my mom. I mean, he literally drained the life right out of her. She was a professional woman. She was out working when she met him and married him. She married late. So I'm sure that had an impact with not wanting to
time, I literally watched them criticize. I watched them pick on her. She could never do anything right. Because she wasn't working, she was now a stay-at-home mom. She even lost that freedom that she had experienced when she was a working well. She taught him to drive a car, and then he took the keys and wouldn't let her use the car. So he really took away her freedom. And I watched this as I was growing up, and I vowed that I would never, ever let myself be put in that situation. And the words that I included in the book, I mean, I've dedicated it to my mom. It's really about how can women have more confident conversations so that they can ask for what they want and be grounded knowing that they will actually get it. And it's using concepts like appreciative inquiry, leveraging on the concept of reciprocity, and so many other words in the book. Here's a little clip that tells you a bit more about the book.
Ladies, a new book is on the horizon. Words, Women, and Wisdom, the Modern Art of Confident Conversations. This new book is for women ready to rediscover their inner confidence, take a stand for themselves in life and business by using more powerful language. Words are so powerful and already changed history. On October 5th, The New York Times published a story detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment against film producer Harvey Weinstein. And numerous women in the entertainment industry found the courage to go public, banding together with a powerful voice that change is long overdue. Even Oprah Winfrey, television network icon, gave a rousing speech at the Golden Globe Awards in January. The media has showcased the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. The Me Too movement is flourishing and all signaling it's time for women's equality and change. I believe it's time to give women the verbal agility to create more confident conversations. Words, Women, and Wisdom, the Modern Art of Confident Conversations, is the book which provides practical approaches for women to ask for what we really want and receive our request.
Yeah. Receive our request. So if we are asking in a manner that is an open or closed yes, no question, guess what? You have a 50% chance the person's going to say no. And talking about my dad, I learned this very early on with him, that if I asked him for permission, that very often it was going to be a no. And I was an adventurous young girl. I was a rebel. Very different personality to my sister, who was much more studious and quieter. So I was out being adventurous, you know, climbing trees, starting my little business at age 7. I was actually dog walking. So there was a couple of old elderly ladies down the road. One of them had a sore leg, couldn't walk her little chihuahuas. So that was my first business. At 7, was getting paid to walk her dog. So what I learned with my dad was, instead of asking, I would give him a choice of one of two things. Now, this is pretty simple sales tactic, but at the time, for a 7-year-old, it was, I thought, pretty clever. So I would say, you know, it would be, instead of asking for permission, you know, would it be better for me to do A or for me to do B? And I would give him a choice of one of those two. And usually he would, you know, he would pick one. He wouldn't just say, no, you can't have both, can't have either of those. So it made it much, much easier for me to get what I wanted early on. So very important lesson. And again, this book is a combination of over 25, I'm not going to go how much more higher, 25 years of my business career, and it's my experiences. And then I also incorporated stories, tidbits, nuggets from other influential and confident women. So I've gathered together my insights with theirs to put together 40 words and word concepts in the book to help elevate women's confidence. And a already I'm starting to get some lovely feedback coming back from people who are reading the book. I know there was a number of people who picked up extra copies before Christmas, which was lovely, and are continuing to dive into the content, so I'm expecting that there'll be more stories to come. And it was really heartwarming right before Christmas to be starting to donate stacks of books. So the Canadian Business Chick Foundation, which is actually called The Net, which is all about women, helping women to rebuild their lives after trauma, received a stack of books. There was a stack that went to the Chris Project, Chris Angel Project, that was organized with the beautiful Karen Klassen. And those purses are filled before Christmas with toiletries, with jewelry from Gems for Gems, which is, again, about repurposing jewelry that is no longer needed or wanted. And those purses were taken, there was hundreds and hundreds, I don't know the exact number, taken to shelters, women's shelters, right before Christmas, and some of my books were inserted into some of those purses as well. So that was a lovely feeling of gratitude right before holidays. A stack was shared with the YWCA, and I'm sure that those are going to be incorporated into some of their programs this coming year. So women that are trying to get away from the abusive situation and help excel in their education so that they never fall back into those situations. To BPW, and I'm not sure if the proteges and mentors in Calgary are going to be receiving that, and how they're going to be using those books here in Calgary, but it was just lovely to be able to select several of the charities, foundations, not-for-profit groups that I've worked with over the past few years to actually donate a stack of books to. It was just so heartwarming. I'm just going to share a third piece about the book, and then I'm coming back to some other content as well.
Hello, I'm Yvonne Silver, certified executive coach and senior HR professional, seasoned in business. I teach women to flourish in business by using more confident language to help empower and engage others. This book is the result of over 35 years of my career, professional career, working in four different countries. I've interviewed over 6,000 people in my career for job interviews, executive coaching, for sales and consulting conversations. And I've listened to hundreds of women in particular who are looking for a better way to collaborate. They're looking to be asking for what they really want and heard and validated, especially in business. And women often earn less than men for doing exactly the same job. It's 2018. It's time for change.
The Modern Art of Confident Conversations explores words we use at home, at work, words that trip us up, elevate us, and encourage us, and when no words are even required. It is about how to leverage the power of words in a positive, in a collaborative and impactful way. Now I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are empowering other women and leading through mentorship programs and my coaching, public speaking, interviews, and writing.
Yeah, and it's been such a journey writing the book and thinking about those different words. It's an interesting story because, as many of you know, I spend my early morning hours in meditation. And spending 25 minutes in meditation, doing some journaling, before having an opportunity to start writing, enabled me to almost download those 40 words. Because when I started, I was thinking about, you know, what's the question that I get asked the most? I want to write the book. What is it that my clients over the years have been asking the most? And it was about, how can I have more confidence? That's the one question that came up over and over and over again. So thinking about that, thinking about what I had shared with them in different situations, I know that there are several concepts that I've repeated over and over and over again. So those are the core ones that download, and it was amazing some of the words that bubbled up. And then I also included those in the book, and thinking about some of the interviews that I've been on recently, I've been doing quite a bit of speaking, I've been invited to be on a number of other radio shows, different show hosts. One of the questions was about, you know, if I could share one thing, what would it be? And for women in particular, I think it's about keeping perspective. One of the women's confidence is worrying about things that we can't control. And while we certainly are multi-talented, we often try to do way too much for others and often end up taking on other people's problems and trying to solve them. And in the same manner that we say sorry way too often, excessive worry drains that energy and it impacts our sleep patterns. So adopting the perspective of if it's not life or death, it's just stuff, is a fresh way to look at life in a calm and stress-free way. And thank you, Connie Podesta. I saw you at a live event one day and you used that expression and it's stuck with me ever since. Now, I'm hearing a little bit of clicking on the line. I'm wondering if my guest, Cheryl, was able to connect with me.
Hi there, Yvonne. I'm so sorry. My phone just acted weird and I've never done that before. Like,
so, well, you're here. That's amazing. I am delighted that you have been able to join me. I did do a long introduction for you earlier. So I don't think I want to necessarily repeat that, but suffice to say that the work that you have been doing as a best-selling author, motivational speaker, global radio show host, your message is really one about hope and help. So I'm glad that in the time that we have together that we can concentrate now on showcasing you, because I've already done the other elements of my show that I wanted to incorporate and share a little bit more about my book for those people who haven't actually had a chance to pick up a copy yet. It is on Amazon in audio, ebook and hard copy format. So just to confirm, great. Cheryl, dedicated.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Cheryl has
taken a lot of
to helping others and empowering parents, children, and caregivers, and has been doing this for over 5 decades, understanding struggles and emotions and the toll it takes caring for someone who solely depends on you. So, enough about my book. You're here. Yay!
I'm excited.
I am too. So as the founder of the Courage to Overcome Club, tell me a little bit about how that got started, because you have quite a story to tell, a very, you know, very inspiring story to tell. But how did you get to the Courage to Overcome Club?
Well, my story actually evolved from having a son that had cerebral palsy. And he is now 48, and so we've gone through an awful lot of experiences, ups and downs through his life, and had to be the ones to knock on the doors to get the doors down, to get him to ride school bus, to get therapy, and to be able to even attend a regular school. And at the same time, I seemed to have parents who were going through health challenges that did not live close to me, but I would go back and forth helping them and be back taking care of my son. And it seems that when my health broke down and knowing how hard it was to find any kind of resources or anybody else that was in the same situation, I decided that that must be where my focus needs to be. And that was to try to help tell the story of other people, the courage that they have when they are caregiving either a child with special needs, their spouse, or their parent. And sometimes more than one at the same time, and be able to let them know they're not alone. That's one of the top problems that people feel, is that they feel all alone. And that's because they're isolated, and when somebody has to stay home, a lot of friends drop out, and they don't get the calls of people wanting them to go out to eat or to go shopping or do anything because they assume they don't have time or they don't want to. And so people become very alone. And I just thought, if we could just share what we've already learned and help those who are coming behind us, wouldn't that be great? And since I had been working on this, I just thought, why not start a club for people who are in the same situation so that you can talk to other people and find out, you know, hey, my child has autism. What have you done with your child? What worked? What didn't work? And where did you find resources? Or how did you handle an IEP at school? And there's so many things that you go through, and it's hard to know how to handle it. There are no books that come with these problems. So, you know, we just, it kind of evolved. And then I was asked to teach a class at a college, and I did that for parents and teachers. And right after the class, the dean called me in. That's the best class we've ever had for adult education. We want to hire you for 4 campuses. And I said, oh, I would love to, but we're moving from Texas to Oklahoma. But everything keeps circling back to be able to help caregivers, and that's a love of mine, being able to do that.
Well, I
did you know 67% of caregivers pass away before the person they're caring for? That just blew my mind when I found out how many don't know how to take care of their own health and how they are really bad about saying, okay, I'll keep going, when they're really so tired and worn out, they've neglected to get enough rest. So that's another big challenge.
Wow. Yeah. Now, as you know, Cheryl, I mean, I'm also the mother of a special needs child, but I had not heard that statistic. So 67%, is that what you said?
67%, and you just don't, you can hardly believe that's true, and yet when you start looking at some of the older couples, you're, one of them's trying to take care of the other one, you often see that that person who's trying to do the caregiving does pass away. And I guess one of the blessings is when the other person that needs the care really doesn't last a lot longer, because it's so hard for somebody to go in and to take care of that person really late in life, not understand what they need, and it's awfully confusing to the person that needs that care. And it's not that I'm not passionate about them. I'm just saying it's a very tough situation. And we have over 43 million people at home without pay caring for someone. So I just think it's time for a movement of caregivers to understand you're not alone. And as countries, we need to be more aware of the sacrifices that are made to take care of those family members and how it costs the family financially, emotionally, physically, and every other way. And just bring an awareness to it.
Yes. Well, I know that Dr. Breanne Eisler has been doing, you know, a lot of work. I think she's quite well known for her research around topic of, you know, how much energy, when we think about mothering, you know, how much energy
right.
is actually being tapped into that is never paid for, even as, you know, stay-at-home mothers, right? So
right.
That is a scary statistic. Now, when you say 43 million, are you talking about globally, or is that just in the States where you are?
That's really just in the States, and that came from AARP, you know, our Retired Association of People. And so I know that that's a pretty accurate figure. But that doesn't include people who are paid to do the caregiving. And we have another almost 30 million people who are paid at caregiving places like long-term care, assisted care group homes, and hospitals. So,
right.
you know, there's a lot of people in this particular business of caregiving.
Yeah. Well, You must have been reading my notepad, because in your statement, your almost your opening statement, you talked about some of the, you know, the challenges. So that was going to be one of my questions, is, you know, what do you find the most challenging, or from your clients or listeners, when they are supporting a loved one? Now, I was thinking particularly in hospital situations, because I know that from your recent blog, you talked about your son accompanying him with 3 surgeries in 10 weeks. So when it comes to supporting a loved one in hospital, any particular tips regard?
Oh, okay. That was the hardest year we've had so far. My husband almost passed away at the beginning of that year. Right at Christmas, he ended up with 5 different reasons he could have passed away. So I was at the hospital with him a lot. My mother was down 200 miles from us in Texas, and we all take turns going and staying with her. And so I went down to be with her. She was 97 and had dementia. And while I was there, she did pass away. And I'm glad that I was the one that was there. I have 3 sisters, but, you know, I was thankful that I could be the one that was there at that time. But soon after, whatever, when she passed away, our son that has cerebral palsy lives in a home where people are taking care of him, because I broke my health down early in life and I cannot physically lift him. And we noticed he was losing weight and nobody knew why. And so they said, we've got to put a feeding tube in. And when they got in there, the doctor came out in a couple hours and said, that's the hardest surgery I've ever had to do. I think I repaired the hernia that he had, and it was big enough the liver was trying to go through that. But his stomach is connected to his heart. So I just stretched the esophagus as much as I could, but in the process, he actually punctured him inside several places. So he was in ICU for a week and getting worse and worse, and they tried another surgery within a week. And then they thought he was dying then, so they sent us to Dallas to the heart and lung transplant place. And we got there at 11 o'clock on a Wednesday night. Thursday morning at 7, the doctors came in and said, he's dying. Do you want us to try to help him? And of course, I mean, I was just like, what do you mean? Do I want you to? And 5 heart and lung transplant doctors went in, and it took them 5 hours to clean up all of the mess that other surgeries had caused. And he was opened up, you know, down one side and across the front. So they just lifted up the flap to work on him. Wow. And during that time, he just kept having one problem after the other, and it turned in, for a one-day surgery, turned into 10 weeks that we sat by his side. And what I can tell you about that is that as a parent, or even if you're just a family member, don't let someone stay alone in a hospital. They need to know that you're there, but more than that, you need to make sure that what happens is the right thing. Because sometimes they come in with the wrong medicine, or they forget to bring something. There's miscommunication between doctors and nurses. And you just need to be on top of it, because sometimes these end up in tragedies with people passing away from being in the hospital. And I'm thankful that we could just sit by his side. But during that time, and Yvonne, since you have a special needs child, you really understand how great this is. We heard him say 3 things that we had never heard before in our lives. He doesn't have much speech, and we didn't know how much he understands. But one day I had been really crying because we thought he was dying the night before, and I was trying to compose myself. But as I sat over in the chair, I was kind of quiet and trying to not say anything in front of him. And he looked across the room at me and he said, Mom, you okay? I jumped up out of my chair and I went over and hugged him. And I said, did you ask how I was? You've never asked how I was or anybody was in your life. And it was such a tremendous blessing to hear him and to recognize that he understood that we were grieving too, and that we were sorry for what he was going through. And I would never have known that.
Wow.
And, the day before he left, he looked over at his dad, and you know, we would take turns sitting by him, and he and his dad would often take a nap. And when his dad woke up, he looked over at Blake, and Blake looked at him, and he said, I love you, Dad. And he's not one to volunteer conversation. And to hear him say that was just, it's one of those things you cannot be even any more grateful than what you are. I mean, you're bursting with joy to know that he understands things.
Yeah, well, and Cheryl, I didn't get to personally offer my condolences on the loss of your mother. I wasn't aware she passed away, so sending a hug down the phone line for you. Bye.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you inviting me to be on, and I'm so sorry that my phone was giving me trouble today.
Yeah. Well,
no. Look forward to dancing with you more.
Well, right before you joined, I was actually talking about perspective, because when I was interviewed recently for another event, the girl asked me at the end, you know, if you could share one thing with the women listeners, what would you share? That, you know, really the most important thing. And I said, it's about perspective. Because I think that one of the things that, you know, is a pattern that very often drains women's confidence is worrying about things that we cannot control. Now, when you have a special needs child, there's an awful lot that you can't control. And you can stress yourself out trying to force things to happen. Or, as you said, you know, you're in a hospital, you're hoping that the doctors will do their best work, and yet being aware and staying aware of what led to the IV line, etc., really does, you know, support that piece of, you know, here's something that I can control, which is looking out for my kid, but I can't be in the operating room at the time that the surgeon is in there, right? Now, my son was born with special needs, and epilepsy was one of the outcomes of his complex medical issues. So I, too, spent hundreds of hours in doctor's offices and hospital rooms for the first 5 years of his life, and I learned that the message, you know, was coming through loud and clear. If it's not life or death, it's just stuff, really. It's just stuff. And so, you know, when I'm working with clients and, for, you know, whatever reason, they're heading into a tailspin about something, keeping that front and center enables me to ask the question, you know, at the end of the day, what's really the most important piece about this situation? And pull them right back to taking a deep breath out of the weeds, because I find that, and again, I talk about this in my book, but I find that a lot of times we're so busy spinning that we're running around. It's kind of like being in the bottom of a pond. You're running around in the pond and you're kicking up all the mud at the bottom, and the water becomes so cloudy you cannot see anything. But once you actually step back and stand still and let the water settle, all the mud settles to the bottom, and then we have clarity. So it's really important to get that perspective.
Well, one of the things I would say in addition to what you did was to tell parents to have more grit, more resilience, and to just go along with what happens and do the best you can. Don't beat yourself up for it. Don't feel guilty about everything that you can't control. But when you're looking at your child and other people, even doctors, tell you, put them away, forget you've ever had them, and I had that happen to me more than once. But when they tell you that, don't believe it. You look for the good things in your child, look for their strengths, and quit focusing on the weaknesses. And help them develop the best they can and help them reach the stars.
Yeah. Well, I can tell, even in the short time that we've had together, as we start to wrap up, that you have a wealth of knowledge to share. And I'm so grateful that you have started the Courage to Overcome Club. And I've directed people already back to your website, courage2overcome.com, and that's the number 2. And, you know, feel free to reach out to Cheryl. She has a free report on the top 10 issues families with special needs face and possible solutions, which I am going to apply for. I think that sounds like a really interesting and useful tool. And I thank you so much for sharing today. When you were talking a moment ago about joy, just to wrap up, I'm actually a big believer that we don't spend enough time thinking about what brings us joy and what we're grateful for. So I'm actually offering a workshop coming up in Calgary on Sunday the 13th, and it's about your joyful 2019. It is something that is on my Facebook page. It's posted with the Eventbrite registration details. So for women who are looking for more joy, particularly in their career in 2019, I invite you to join me for this free 3-hour workshop this coming Sunday between 1 and 4. It's a convenient downtown location at the New Central Library. And let's start putting some of those pieces together that will give you a more joyful 2019. If you haven't yet picked up a copy of Words, Women, and Wisdom, I invite you to do that. It's something that concludes some of the concepts I've talked about today. It is available on Amazon. And if you're looking for some tools, some free tools, there's also one that is on my website that you might find quite useful. The website address is wordswomenandwisdom.com. And I have a quiz on there for professional women. And it's about having more confidence. So go ahead, click on that. And if you have questions, feel free to reach out to me through Facebook or through my Words, Women, and Wisdom contact page on the website. And it's been delightful sharing insights with you today. Thank you so much to my guest, Cheryl, for contributing. And I'm wishing you a fantastic 2019 filled with joy, love, laughter, and peace. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful week.